When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, here's a little soft one. This is a Swapcast with the wonderful Eve Darcy, a comedian from Dublin, Ireland, and her podcast, Humans Discuss Being, where she takes her friends and acquaintances from the comedy world and entertainment world and sits them down and has a little existential chat and find out, you know, what's going on in their world. How does their head work? Where did they get all that sass from? And there's lovely little chats there with people that you wouldn't expect. If you want to go and have a look at it, it's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then there's all the podcast apps that you can find podcasts on. Her show is there. And we sit down and we talk about, you know, my childhood and how I give birth to the funniness, how I try to, you know, entertain. We also talk about my young life and the influences I had to get me into comedy or entertainment, you know, being a musician and being, you know, doing a bit of traveling and, you know, just fucking having a head. And I think in this time now where we're all locked in, partially against our wills, that, you know, it's not that shit of a thing to go and have a walk around in the garden of your mind. Do you know? Go and stand in the pretty little wilderness and have a fucking think. There's a lot of people going on about meditation and doing kind of like self-reflection and having a scratch and sniff on the brain box. It's not a bad thing. Some people are sitting there with a head full of dreams and it's hard to not be able to take the steps to make those things, you know. Some people feel real bad about it. And you said you fucking feel bad about it. So you get a bit depressed and then you don't do anything in the day. And then you feel bad because you didn't do anything in the day. And then you get real anxious about it. And it's just, you know, an uppy downy roller coaster of bullshit. And it doesn't need to be that way. Do you know? Give yourself a break, man. But I'm blowing all the good material now. You get to hear me talk all about it in a kind of a disjointed, comical way with Eve. And she's a lovely listen. She's a great podcast. And she has a lot of people that, you know, some of the people that have been on my show that you love have been on this. So go and check her show out. This is a nice little jaunt. There's nothing political in this. You know, we're just getting into just having the chat. So don't worry if this is, you know, if you're over coroned and you just can't take it no more. Just dive into this one. Have a listen. If you think that you like me or you know me, you get to, you know me a little bit better. So this is Humans Discuss Being. Go and subscribe to her on all the channels that she has and check out the show. And in the meantime, enjoy. Good luck.
Yes. Welcome. Another Humans Discuss Being. This time, Gordon Rochford.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Very good.
This, I've been waiting a while for this chat, to be honest. So I mean, I'm happy it's happening.
You never called. You never texted. It was just...
No, fucking, we're just busy people.
We are.
We are busy. And also, you
I
were
was away.
Away. So it's significantly...
Not away, like, in jail.
No.
Yeah.
It's more people difficult.
I was away.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was away. We moved out west for a while for a bit of respite and a bit of head clearing. The original plan was to go to America and we had everything set up to go to do that thing and some logistical hurdles came up.
Okay, the jail thing.
Yeah, the whole jail thing. Yeah. Yeah, the whole being a criminal.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a criminal. US immigration. I'm actually not. I'm totally free from crime. And so we ended up, there's a load of other excellent, awesome things happened and it's all on the journey. It's just, you know, when you put in an order to the universe for a certain set of things, you might not get them in the order that you expect. Mm-hmm. And I ended up kind of thinking, I have to do this before I get this. I'd have to have accomplished this thing before I get the chance to do this other thing.
Gotcha.
So like I've had offers from different companies and stuff about things that I can only dream about. It's all on the down low at the moment. But like big swings that I thought like I'd have to do all this other work for. And they rang me up and just went, yeah, would you like this? And I'm like, hello, what's this?
Oh, amazing.
So yeah, really, really cool. And it just all came in a different order. So now, visa stuff and the America project and moving that way and doing live shows and getting to meet the people we only talk about, like all that stuff is still on the cards. It's just in a different order and maybe in a different scale.
Mm.
So I'm very, very happy. We were living out in Sligo.
Nice.
In Enniscrone,
uh-huh.
On the beach.
I know it well, yes.
You're from around there.
I am.
And we were, I was reading, I was studying, I was getting ready for the next season of the podcast and was kind of bettering myself and checking in emotionally and trying to, you know, fix family issues and, you know, certain, the only way you get caught in an emotional spiral or you hear a song or something hits you and you're like, Or when you're telling somebody's like, how are you? I'm grand, but wait till I tell you this. And you just get fucking stuck in a story you told 9 times.
Mm.
And it's just you're spitting vitriol. And it's like digging these same grooves of like horribleness. It's totally superfluous and unnecessary. So it just kind of burned that out of me. And just always tell good stories.
Wow.
Always have a good time. Don't be like meeting comedians I haven't seen in a while and then fucking bitching about Al Porter or something like that. Like, remember, he showed these Mickey to this lad. And allegedly. And stereo allegedly there, but like this kind of stuff gets old and people get bored, and in the position I'm in, I was doing that and everyone was like painted on smiles, and I was like, I'm really annoying these people by doing this, why am I doing it? And just kind of trying to think about how I operated, and it was like to be afforded the luxury of taking a little break from like humdrum normal Dublin life where you're doing all the stuff, still being able to do your stuff but from a different perspective, with a bit more room and a little less stress monetarily and, you know, like socially. And I can see why these people want to, like these businessmen want to go out into the forest in California for 2 weeks and run around in a nip, like in Bohemian Grove, or they want to fucking, you know, just like kick back and go out to Joshua Tree and take a load of fucking peyote or whatever.
Yeah.
Just to fucking, you know, defragment the hard drive.
Yeah.
Because it just keeps on piling on. So yeah, I'm back in Dublin now and I'm very happy and, you know, we have a nice new place and everything is fucking 10 out of 10.
Right. Do you feel like it's like a new you now coming back to Dublin or?
Well, I'll tell you, Eve, my philosophy about the new you, I've said it for years and I feel that I've gone into these stages and it's kind of like, you know, in Doctor Who when he dies and regenerates.
Mm.
So I've had these big life milestones. So the first one was at 7 years of age. And I always went like, when I was seven, like I started feeling weird. I started staying up real late, not being able to sleep. And I was worried about the fucking Iraq war that was going on. Like George Bush was bombing the shit of Iraq, like the first time, the prequels or whatever. And Star Wars franchises, like first there was George Sr. Then George Bush, Iraq harder. And, I was just worried about all this stuff all the time. And like my mother's kind of a bit of a worrier, like a bit of a stress head. And I don't really remember any, like I wasn't molested and I buried it deep down. It's just like really heavy stress going on. And from talking about it and thinking about it, when I was seven, my older brother was 11 years older than me, moved away from the house and went to join the army.
Oh.
And he went into the army cadets. So of course, 7 year old me was like, oh my God, my big brother's in the army. And like the army is having an Iraq war. So it just, and that was only just like, I was telling the story to somebody and they went, yeah, but sure, your brother went to the army. Of course you were. And I was like, oh my God, I never even put that together. So it's those kind of things. So seven was like a big kind of, like I came online consciously.
From my consciousness. Anxiety.
Yeah, to anxiety.
Mm.
And before that, I can't really remember anything.
Mm.
And then at 14, I got out of like this, I had self-diagnosed myself as like a victim of bullying, you know, from primary school and first year in school. And I was just like, fuck that shit. I started hanging out with older guys, like fourth and fifth years. I was just going into second year or whatever. And I made friends with older people. People were outside of my social circle. Lads I went to primary school with, people in my class. I was like, nah, I need to find out what else is out there. And started hanging out with older people and kind of changed my personality that way. Learn how to jeer people and all, leave, you know, yourself. Mm. And then you come back to your own classmates and you're like a black belt in fucking giving lip.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all about like learning the lads' Ma's first names.
Oh.
So somebody give you some shit, you'd be like, come here, tell Kathleen to have the dinner on by the time I come home. I ride her first and then we'll have spuds. And he's all like, oh, because it hits harder when they know her first name, like this kind of stuff. Little tips like that.
Okay.
And then at 21, I was giving up drinking. I gave up drinking at like 18.
Right. So when did you start drinking?
Like 13.
Right.
And then 21, I was like came online again. I was doing loads of mad drugs. I had moved away to Estonia. So I was living in Estonia for like 3.5 years.
Wow.
Like speaking English and speaking Russian and kind of mixing and matching. Right. So it was an entirely different existence in a totally different country where nobody knew me.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a reboot again, like Doctor Who job. And then I was drinking all through my 20s. And then at 27, I decided to stop drinking and doing any drugs. I'm sober for 9 years.
Wow.
So from 27 to 35, it was like, okay, I have to get my shit together. And I started like training up in like cameras and audio stuff. And at 30, started the podcast. And then at 35, which is only last year, I quit any job and I went full time as a podcaster.
That's amazing.
And now I'm into this next, like the fifth Gordo.
Oh gosh.
Which is like the climber. And then at 42, I guess, what is it? Like you have to register as a millionaire and.
Right.
So you're buying like.
Okay.
Buying a house on, buying an island somewhere in the Bahamas for real cheap. I get the Epstein's one is probably going cheap.
It probably is. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a tax write-off or something like that.
Mm.
But just probably like a little, one of the little stones off the Blaskets or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the man's, Inish man or Inish, yeah, yeah. One of the Inishes.
One of the Inishes.
Yeah, something small. No, I just mean like 42 is like, then you have a family and you all that stuff. So that's like the next iteration.
Yeah,
so from now till then, I've got 6 years to fuck the arse off this thing and.
Brilliant.
Get into it, yeah.
That's a good way to do it, isn't it? Like divided into sevens.
Well, that's, I mean, every 7 years, every cell in your body totally regenerates. So.
Why wouldn't one psyche?
I mean,
there we go.
Right.
Right. Okay, that's a great synopsis. So I'm going to like ask some questions then based on that. Also, I must do that 7 year thing and look back over my life. I think that's a cool little thing to do.
They're kind of like, that's why you celebrate that shit, like Sweet 16.
Yeah.
People are like, okay, not communion, a girl.
Very important.
Not yet a woman. Like it's that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
Bar mitzvahs at 13, like that kind of coming of age thing. And then everyone celebrates the 21st because it's like, right, well, you're not a fucking child anymore.
Yeah, cut the fuck on.
Let's get going.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. What brought you to Estonia? Very intrigued.
Oh, I mean, why would any Irish man who was his feet firmly planted in Irish soil ever leave? It was because of a woman. Yeah. So my girlfriend at the time, I think we went out for 5 years, something like six, maybe 5.5 years. And she was a Russian national and she wanted to get her Estonian citizenship to become a European citizen to travel around freely because the Russian passport is a hip of shite if you want to going to do anything outside Russia basically. So we just went over there for a few years, did her application. I ended up working in a school and teaching English and music, just having a bit of crack.
Deadly.
Yeah, native English speaker, chatting with the kids, doing like after school programs and yeah, right crack.
Very cool.
Yeah, and it was I was playing on a band, I was playing bass in a jazz band, and I was doing like spoken word poetry, but like in a jokey way, because everyone else was real serious, and I was like coming in at it jokingly, and I came up with the idea of doing these, like, instead of doing comedy, I was wanting to do these, like, kind of seminars, like speeches, just come in and go, because
like a TED Talk.
Yeah, but
before TED.
Yeah, before TED Talks and before I found out that you could be a stand-up comedian. Like I always thought when you're watching like Bill Hicks or George Carlin or Richard Pryor, who are my heroes, like that you have to be of a certain level, that you can't just be like some mucker off the street and walk in and someone will give you a chance to talk in front of a room of people. I never knew that was an option.
Okay.
Otherwise I would have done that when I was in college.
Sure.
In like 2001, 2002. I would have done it then. I never knew it was like comedy. So I wanted to do this thing, but I got into conspiracy theories and all, like around just like 9/11, I got serious. But I was always into X-Files and stuff when I was in my early teens and like reading like Weekly World News and aliens, Bigfoots and all this kind of stuff was always my jam. And when I got out to Estonia, there was really good internet for the first time.
Okay.
It was like proper broadband, like, you know, four 4 megabits, like proper. Now it's fucking pissed, but you get more than that on your mobile phone. Sure. But back then it was like having a fucking 12-inch Mickey. Like, you're like, oh my God, how fast is this internet? I was downloading all these my crazy documentaries, man. And this is all before YouTube, so you couldn't get it. Like, it was all file sharing, P2P and ED2K and eDonkey 2000 and all this kind of stuff. LimeWire, I suppose you remember this kind of stuff.
Big memories. What brought you to conspiracy theories? What's
hash,
that all about?
Smoking hash.
Hash, okay.
Getting suspicious about life.
Okay, okay.
But I was always kind of like, this is bullshit.
This life thing?
Yeah, I'd be lied all the time. Fucking history teachers were lying to me and all the teachers were just full of shite. Like, and they're trying to make you do this thing. And I was like, nah, I'm not into it. Mm. Like, I do it. But I was more about having the crack and like socializing, talking about stuff. And I wasn't into what was in the books. And then the stuff that I was into, did make you fucking process it in such a way that it takes all the love out of it. And you're like, why do I have to know it off by heart? Can I not just know the gist? It's like, no, you need to have quotes to prove your point. And I was like, shouldn't my point be my point? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know the quotes.
Yeah.
Why do I need to show that I know the quotes? I know what I'm talking about. It's like, no, you need to know. It's like, come on, man. You're telling a story. So it was just like, I never really enjoyed the school part of it. I was always asking questions. And then once I got out of school and it was like real life and the internet was kind of becoming, blooming into what it was, you just find so much stuff and you're like, I knew it. I was right.
Mm.
And then 9/11 happened and then you're going like, okay, this is it now. This is my JFK. Like, this is, where were you when it happened, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really do anything about it for like 15 years
when
I started making those conspiracy guys or whatever. But I was always reading, I was always looking at stuff, I was always watching documentaries.
Mm.
And sure, now it's like mainstream.
Yeah.
You know,
it's difficult to decipher, yeah.
Every documentary on Netflix is some kind of conspiracy, some kind of, they found an extra Nazi somewhere, or, do you know, there was a lad who pretended to be their neighbor, and when really he married their 8-year-old daughter and got your man to suck his dick in a car. Like, crazy fucking mad mind control documentaries. There's one called Wormwood about MK Ultra and all this stuff. Like, when we did our episode on MK Ultra, which is a CIA mind control program, that's absolutely real. The documents are there. Like, we did 2014 and people were listening going, what? I cannot believe it. And now it's like commonplace. It's like a, you know, total conspiracy lexicon. Everyone knows about it in just 5 years. So like back then, I don't want to say like I was into conspiracies before it was cool, but it was underground.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing that people did. It was like for fucking weird, smelly weirdos in their basement with you know, tinfoil hats or... These kind of guys have like 9 computer screens and they're like monitoring, you know, like police band radio, and they're always portrayed like that in the movies, you know?
Yes.
Or like in the X-Files, you know, the lone gunmen, you know, the three dudes.
Yeah.
They're always like, well, Mulder, actually, I want to tell you something. Yeah. So I was looking for like a minor, tiny detail. So I was always questioning shit. I was always asking questions. Like,
so
all
distrusting.
Distrusting. All my school reports, like, ask them any questions, disrupts in class. I was like, of course I disrupt. You're telling lies. And then when I ask questions, you tell me not to ask questions. So I'm like, well, if you're not going to answer, am I not going to listen? They're like, yeah, but there are other sheep here who will do what they're told.
Exactly. I was just
stop
say,
disrupting the sheep.
The education system is not for thinking.
No.
No, it's for doing what you're told.
It's digestion and regurgitation.
Yeah. Well, it's like, and in Ireland, it's like an indoctrination system. It's not an education system. But whatever. That's my rant.
Yeah, but you're fucking... You're just teaching, it's an industrial revolution.
Totally,
system.
Yes, it is. Factory,
you're just teaching people how to be productive workers.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
If I give you the instructions to work this machine, will you know how to do it? And we give you points out of 600 to find out if you can, like.
Yeah,
what
totally.
The fuck is this
It's weird. So I totally get that. And I kind of admire, because I would have been like that underneath, but I would have been, you know, very well socially conditioned to be a good girl, you know, so.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm a rebel. I wasn't a bad boy.
No,
I didn't,
did
wasn't
question.
Wearing it. Wasn't wearing a leather jacket, like hitting the jukebox and starts playing music. I was a good boy. I was a mammy's boy. Like, I was oh, you had to be home at 10:30. I was very strict now and all this stuff. But I came home at 10:30, but I drank like I was coming home at 2:30. So it's like, if you're picking me up at 10:30, you're picking me up. Like, I'm gonna be the guy leaning against the chipper. Like, do you
so
know
tell
what
me
mean?
About then drinking so young and then.
Ah, yeah. But she's the only way you get like
yeah
a bottle of Cadet lemonade and then you. crack into your dad's whiskey in the cabinet.
It just seems like 18 to be done with it. Seems like that's very young to have had all of that experience.
Yeah. But like, there's other people drinking with me, and then they were like, I can't drink anymore. And I was like, neither can I. We should probably stop. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not really my story to tell, I guess. It's somebody else's story.
Oh, okay.
But like,
you're peer pressured into going sober.
No. I wanted to do it because I should have done it.
Okay.
And the other person should have done it, but didn't really want to do it, but had to.
Okay, I get like, you.
Medically
totally
forced
you.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we were. I was just like, I have to stop drinking. Mm. Like, it's not good. And then I went to college, and it was like, I stopped drinking before I went to first year in college.
Okay.
And like, I think the last day I drank before I stopped, then I had a summer job, and I met this girl who was maybe in her late 20s, early 30s. And I used to go to her house after, it wasn't like a Mrs. Robinson thing. But I used to go to her house after work, and she had a boyfriend and all that, but he wasn't around and she was at home. And we smoked a couple of joints. And then one day we were getting ready to go out for a night out, and I bought a bottle of Jack Daniels. And I was at this point where I was drinking a whole bottle of Jack Daniels. I bought a big bag of ice and a bottle of Coke and a bottle of Jack Daniels. And I drank the whole thing in about 2 hours. And
oh,
I was,
my fucking God.
I was falling around, but that was average. And then I went, oh, I feel so good. And I went into her bathroom and got sick. All over the wall, the toilet, the back of the toilet, the shower curtain, the bath, the floor, the mats.
God.
Just covered it. It was like
exorcist
shit. It was exorcist shit. It was really bad. And then I ran it, and I was trying to like scoop it all up with my hands. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then I ran out of there. And the embarrassment and also like the necessity forced me to stop drinking.
Yeah, okay.
So if that girl is listening, I highly doubt it. But I'm really sorry I wrecked your fucking bathroom. Wrecked it.
But you are, you know, you got a good life lesson, and you've been stone cold sober ever since.
I didn't drink again for 5 years, 6 years.
That's impressive.
And then I drank for 4, and then I'm off at 9. So
okay. Nice.
Yeah. But the drinking wasn't a problem. It was just like a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Like you get 2 cans, and me and a friend of mine from school. I'm not going to name names. Me and a friend of mine from school would go down and drink like a can and share like a cadet bottle of whiskey at lunchtime and come back. Come back to school and just be like,
oh, I love it. Daytime drinking.
Yeah. In like fifth year or fourth year, you know. And the teachers were all, for all the 14 year olds listening to a podcast about emotional
development.
But, I come back after lunch and the teacher's writing the report cards. He seems to be a lot more calm after lunch. He doesn't ask so many questions. Or start getting belligerent in history class. She's going, Hitler had the right idea. Just throwing stuff out there to try and provoke a reaction or whatever.
Yeah. Hmm. That's gas.
Yeah, funny.
And then, you know, so you were saying with the kind of at 14 or whatever, it was like that you had some narrative or something about being bullied.
Yeah, it was just, I think there's a whole thing now about like, people think that there's some kind of a social hierarchy that if you're of a victim class that you get treated better.
Mm.
So there's people like, we're looking into politics on your podcast, Steve. People like Candace Owens are talking to, she's you know, a black woman, and she talks to other black people and goes like, why are you all fucking still talking about slavery? That's like, that's a victim mindset. Like none of you are slaves. None of you had any direct action done to you because of or towards the idea or concept of slavery. Like, why are you still fighting that battle? Slavery is over. Let's work on right now.
Yeah. Is that like the Irish people going on about the famine?
Yeah. Or like 800 years or all of this shit. It's like, sure, there are some societal and structural things set up. Like in America, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution is like basically the abolition of slavery. And we're recording this the day after Martin Luther King's birthday. It's the abolition of slavery, and there's a clause at the bottom of it saying, unless you have been incarcerated, and then if you've been like, if you're in jail, we can get you to work for free.
Mm.
And then they fucking throw crack all over the black people, and then they all go to jail, and then they get into work for free. So it's kind of like these loopholes and shit like that. Uh-huh. So I do get the argument, but I just didn't want to be identifying myself as like a victim, because then everything seems like, like if you're a fucking nail, like everything feels like a hammer. Do you know what I mean? So you're just like, you're going around going like, I'm a victim, I'm a bully. And if you don't get your way, you're like, well, you're bullying me. It's like, no, motherfucker, like, you're just asking for too much, or you don't deserve it. Or, well, like, why do you feel entitled? And then as a defense, you'll say that you're being bullied. Mm. You know, like, this is not a good...
Yeah. So what was your experience then?
I just got fucking kicked around. Like,
okay.
I was fat and I was mouthy.
Okay.
But I wasn't as mouthy as I was fat. So I was a bit of a nerd. I was one of these guys that tried to be cool when I wasn't with the lads in school. Mm. So I'd wear a baseball hat backwards and pull my fringe out of it and have it like this, like Pugwall from Pugwall Summer. And I thought it was fucking cool. June, July and August. Come September, oh, the truth came out.
Okay.
I was told that you look like a fucking retard. And I was like, oh. But I had 3 months of like, I'm so cool and confident and I'm, you know, self-assured. And then like people that knew me were like, that's not who you are. And
or people who thought they knew you.
Thought they knew me. But the people who had spent time with me.
Mm.
Who spent all my time together, like all my primary school people. And then you start putting a thing, like these are all thoughts coming to me, like I'm prepared this around there, so it might come off in a weird order. But like you start thinking about like, well, yeah, but it's pure honest, that's why it's coming out this way. So you start thinking about how you define yourself based on how other people see you. And I was like, I don't want to do that anymore because like nobody knows what I can do or what I can be. And if I keep identifying myself as a past version of myself, then I'll never move forward. Because if I'm like, I'm a victim of bullying. Now, obviously, like you can say people who have been sexually assaulted or people who have had cancer or people who have, you know, been like drug rehabilitation. There are awful things to happen to somebody. And if you feel supported or if you feel like identifying as that happening to you helps to cope with how that feels, cool. But I don't think, it's a personal opinion, I don't think it's healthy to identify as a victim of that forever. A lot of people are changing the kind of the lexicon around it. They say like, I'm a survivor of.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of still saying like, I'm a survivor. I'm living as a survivor of this thing. And it always, it's like your life pre that thing and then post that thing. And you kind of use that thing as like a milestone to identify how you go on in the future. And I know it's really hard to get over. And I know it's like something that lives with somebody forever. Like those three examples are just three that I picked out off the top of my head because they'd be the most maybe pertinent to the point I'm trying to make. But like, there's people getting fucking gay bashed and there's people getting, you know, abused online or getting bullied so much, like kids getting bullied so much that they kill themselves and stuff. And you're like, how can somebody else have so much agency over how you feel about yourself that you will want to take yourself out of the equation, out of the conversation? You're like, I can't stand life the way they tell me I am. And you're like, just don't do that then. Like, hey, what are you being depressed for? Just don't be depressed. But like people getting forced into a position where they think this is the only way to get away from those actions and those the actions of others. Like it's a really fucked up modern problem.
Yeah.
And I think with like social media and stuff like that, the shit you did when you were 12 on MySpace or Bebo, that just evidence of that shit. Like there's no pictures of me with my leather Chicago Bulls hat with my long fringe that I used to split down the middle and have like curtains. Oh. And then I had like a wedge shaved into it.
I really wish there was.
That was the way of the time. I have some pictures, but they're fucking not online even. They won't be online. I might throw one up for the crack. But like I looked like what you would imagine what's the Bali lad from Little Britain.
Oh my word, yeah, I get you.
So it's like him, but with like curtains and a wedge and National Health, plastic brown National Health glasses.
God.
And like a little wispy tash because I was trying to be a big boy. Like it's you fucking have to define your own self, but a lot of people are looking for validation. They're looking for the appreciation or the admiration or even just the attention of other people.
Yeah.
And if they don't get that, they value themselves less. And I'm like, what that really says to me is that they don't, wait now, try and get it right, because I've never said this before, I'm trying to get the words right. What it says to me is that they don't value themselves less in the eyes of other people, so they don't put their value in other people's eyes. But I think it's because they themselves have such an inflated opinion of their opinion. When they judge other people, they want it to be as powerful as they perceive other people's judgment of them.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're not so fucking great. Like, the people who fear judgment the most are the most judgy.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think that there's like, there's a missing link somewhere in social media where people are told like, you should be this way. And then if you're not that way, you're on the outside. And there's no such thing that like outsiders are quite rare now in mainstream. Before, like, especially when I was like 13, 14, 15, outsiders was the mainstream. So we're like, we're not normal. We don't get jobs. We don't wear ties and suits. Mm. Like, we wear like baggy pants and, you know, black woolly jumpers with our thumbs poked through the sleeves, and we'll have long hair. We're not getting jobs, and fuck y'all and fuck your school and, you know, this kind of grunge mentality. But I think that I wanted to not be a victim or not associate with this little whingy cunt who'd like run in at lunchtime because some of the lads were like a bit mean to me, and then like run in into the desks where all the girls were playing and go over to my desk and be like genuinely crying, and then go, I want a bit of attention. I start crying louder, and then the girls go, what's wrong? That guy kicked me, and I was like, oh, and I'm like, oh, boys don't support each other like this. I think I'll just be gay because this is way better crack. Like, I remember doing that shit and going like, why are you doing that? Okay. But still doing it because it felt lovely.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I just need someone to mind me. Please mind me. Those boys are too mean and kicky. And the girls were like, I know what it's like. But then I was like, fuck, man, that's like, you know, grown ass man don't do that shit. Like, you can't keep doing that. But now, of course, you have loads of grown ass men doing it. Some of them professionally. You know, that kind of thing. Somebody said a thing. Wax my balls, I said. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that? That the trans person is like making a court case because a waxer wouldn't wax her balls.
Okay.
Yaniv, I think your name is.
God, I feel like this is like Graham Lennon territory now. I'm not going to
say it. Ara. It's a real thing. Like, they called made a court case. I'm not saying it's you know, a good or bad thing. It's just that it happened.
Yeah.
And now that person is known as a professional victim, because they're always coming up. Their stories are always coming up where they're like, "You're mistreating me because of my gender assignment or whatever." And you're like, I don't know why you can't like be a person. And then if somebody won't wax your balls, just find someone else who will. Like, there's no need for a court case or whatever. It's the gay cake argument.
That just popped into my head. Yeah,
do you know, gay cake arguments. It's like, why run a fucking bakery out of business because they won't bake your gay cake? Just go to another bakery that will bake your gay cake, and they'll love to do it, which means they'll make a nicer cake. Because if you force the cunts that hate gay people to make a cake, they'll put like shit and fucking doo-doo and fucking spit in it and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't want people who don't want you to make a cake making a cake for you. So why fight for it? And all you have to do is let people know. And then all the gay people just won't go there and let all the other people go there. You don't have to put them out of business. So that was what I was doing in my head, which is like, why would I give the business of my company and my personality, and why would I fight for the attention, the love and adulation, or even just friendship and company of a set of people who don't want me as I really am. So I change myself to be how they think I should be. So I'm unhappy. But at least I don't get bullied by some people who I think want to like me, but a different type of. It's like you're
betraying yourself to be accepted by other people that you don't particularly even like.
You're missing all of these links, and then it takes ages to unravel that shit, because then you stay friends with those cons for 10 years, and you're in your mid-20s, and you're like, well, I can't extricate myself from this group of friends because then I'll have nobody and I'll be on my own, and that's the scariest thing.
Yeah.
So you're like, fuck it, I'll just be friends with them and we'll have arguments.
And was there an element of, okay, well, I have to be friends with these guys because I've built my identity to suit them almost. So who am I going to be without them? Or
So I decided like pretty early on that I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
I was like, I'm okay with being a weirdo.
Yeah.
And I did stay friends with lads until sixth year. And they changed and grew, and I changed and grew. And after first year, I found myself in a completely different space. But I was hopping from friend group to friend group. It's like, I didn't want to lock myself into anything, and I wasn't really sure about myself. And I was trying out, trying on new hats and It's not the way you be.
Yeah, of course.
You make up an identity for yourself, and it's pretty much you. Like, it's almost you, and sometimes it's like the you that you would love to be. And then you're like, oh, fuck. Could I keep this up? Okay, bye. Like, you decide at some point, like, I don't know if I can, so I'm gone.
Or just the, like, you that you'd love to be. What would that look like?
It's pretty much close enough to the way I am now.
Yeah, that's, I'm getting that. Yeah, I was just going to say, you seem like you're very close to that now. You seem settled.
Yeah, but I was settled a long time ago.
Yeah,
but
content,
I mean, as well. I was content a long time ago because I knew this stuff would happen. I just knew that
it would play out.
This is the way it's going to be, like, undoubtedly. But I wasn't there yet, even though I was so sure of it. And the journey was very difficult because I was like, I know I have to, I can see the mountain on the distance, but I have to fucking put the jacket on and go through the thorns and go through the shit, feel the shite. And like, the journey there was tough. And the people that were with me weren't the best people.
Okay.
And I got more people, and then lost a lot of people, and then got a lot of more people, and then had to fucking push them away.
Yeah.
And so I guess a personality type like mine attracts, like, I don't want to say toxic people, but like, I think it does. Okay. I'm a pretty easygoing, like, forgiving type of person. And there's people who will take advantage of that shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the journey then that you, you know, you're saying it was a journey, it was a difficult one.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that. What was that like?
Or just having a head. Do you know? Like, trying to make decisions on, like, am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for the people that are in my life that I think, like, you know, everyone's trying to, at some level, like, impress your parents or impress your older brother or sister or whatever. Or, like, you have to fucking do it because Nana wants you to do it. Or, you know, like, Pop would love you to have, you know,
27 children.
Exactly. A lot of grandkids. But you're like, nah, man, fuck that shit. Like, I'm not doing any of that. Mm. And then you have to have that whole thing.
Mm.
So you're always kind of fighting for your own decisions.
Yeah.
Do you know? Trying to justify it when really, in a court of human law, let's say, like a court of humanity, those people should need to justify their objections rather than you justifying your actions,
living your life. Yeah.
Like, why do you not like the way I do that thing? Ah, because this and that. Well, I don't accept that, so you're not allowed to say it anymore because it's not valid.
Yeah.
You just have to fucking put up with it. But it doesn't work that way, and society is built to not work that way because it helps control people.
For sure.
It helps control people to be homogenized and have everyone think the same way, which makes it easier for them to propagandize to us or to sell us stuff. They don't have to have an individualized targeted ad campaign to make you think a certain way. They just do a blanket thing. If everyone thinks the same, the one thing works. Now it's getting a little bit more diverse. There's a lot more, like, opinions, a lot more, like, the way people are constructing their personalities is an awful lot different. So, like, the algorithm, you know, the Facebook thing where they were like, it's getting more and more difficult to get a unilateral message out there.
Yeah.
We have to really tailor it. So it's like, tell us 10 things that you like. Tell us all the TV shows you would like to watch. Uh-huh. Tell us the movie. And we've just been feeding that information in exchange for social gratification.
Yeah.
And then they get like a lovely algorithm, lovely analytical demographic so that they can pinpoint our political views or religious views or biases or, you know, our hates, our loves, our wants. And that's the way it's going to be on into the future.
Okay, is that what you reckon?
Oh, it's like Snowden said that shit in 2011, said, like, your phones are listening to you all the fucking time. Mm. And still people are amazed when they turn on Instagram and there's an ad for something. It's like, oh my God, I was just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
I was literally just talking about that yesterday and I've never seen that ad before. And now it's showing up. I never even wanted that. What the fuck is this? I don't know. The FBI are listening to me. And you're like, Edward Snowden said that shit 8 years ago, that it's 100% happening.
Yeah.
Why are you not listening, you know?
Yeah. But also, though, when we do find out that that's for sure happening, we're like, oh, but I quite like to but have I like, the internet on my phone.
I like looking at Instagram at nighttime.
Yeah.
And I'm so lazy I can't pick up my other hand to scroll, so I just rub my nose off the screen to go to the next picture.
Yes.
Like, we've all done that.
Totally. Tell them all about it, those
conspiracy guys. But I think the journey for everybody is like the journey towards finding the person that you put into like a box in the attic when you were in your early teens to fit in. And then you're just like heaving out all the old boxes of toys and the old broken trikes and the Tonka toys and the fucking old the Fisher Price kitchen set and pulling all the old bags of clothes and all that stuff.
The hoodie, what was the hoodie?
The FUBU and Echo Unlimited. Thought there was a black lad in Compton. Fucking was a Rockaware jumper and all. £100 for a jumper. £100. It's like Rockefeller Records. So yeah, like you pull all that stuff out of the attic and it's all the fucking it's all somebody else's shit.
Sure.
And then you in the corner, in the dark, like an Edward Scissorhands type of scene, you see the person that you thought you would be when you were 12, before you got hair on your balls and or the appropriate other parts. And you were told, like, you can't have that, or this is not the way it's going to be. Mm. You're going to be this way, or else you're fucked. And you put that guy up in the attic, like Edward Scissorhands, and I think some people never find him again.
Yeah.
Or her.
Yeah.
That it's just, like, life gets in the way. Like, it's weird to say, I nearly said, I'm really fortunate that I don't have kids, but I obviously want kids, like,
yeah,
you know.
Okay, yeah.
But, like, if I'd had kids when I was, like, 22... That lad in the attic can never be found.
No.
Because you just wouldn't have the time.
Exactly.
And you're also trying to make sure that your kids don't put their lads up in the attic. Yeah. And then the next thing, you have a whole kind of fucking family, like that movie Us, you know, the Jordan Peele movie. Yeah, yeah. You have a whole pseudo family that don't speak and their eyes are a little bigger because they're in the dark lamps, like up in the attic and all. Somewhere like, you open the attic and they're like, I just got a pot now. Like it's... Like, you're creating a whole family of fucking attic people if you don't sort your shit out and have, you know.
Before you make other humans.
Yes. And you're passing all the shite down and, do you know, that's where you get, like, lads sitting on the couch drinking beer and shouting at the football. And then their kids come in and they're like, you're interrupting my free time. It's like, because we talked about free time earlier on. Like, there's no time, it's free. Like, you're making time. So, but I think the journey for anybody should be finding that thing that you're content with, that you're happy with.
Yeah.
That you can wake up and go into a life and be like, yeah, I'm looking forward to today.
Mm.
And sometimes you don't look forward to it because it gets normalized. But like I have a brilliant life. And sometimes I wake up and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, but that's okay too.
But like, you can feel like that.
Yeah. It's just a feeling. Like, it's not going
to. Yeah, it's not a judgment on how you've, you know, but a lot of people are like, why do I feel bad for a week?
Yeah.
And you're like, it's okay to feel bad for a week, but I shouldn't because I have everything I want.
Well, I know, but that doesn't help. It just keeps you in that state.
So the cycle goes then.
Yeah, of course.
You start eating. Like,
and then you identify with feeling shit and down and stuff. Yeah.
And then you're like, every Sunday I like to have loads of chippies and loads of burgers and I have a big pizza for dinner and we watch movies that make me cry.
Yeah.
And you get into a routine of going, like, you're rewarding yourself for life by, you know, doing that stuff and...
Totally get you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, kind of by the sounds of things, it's like you need to, like, as in when I say you, everyone needs to have, like, almost an observer stance every now and then. Like, not to overly identify with any one thing. Like, if you feel a bit sad, you just feel a bit sad for now.
Yeah.
You have a few negative thoughts. Yeah, that's great. They're not you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it sounds like you need to do what you did, just, like, live away for a little while, you know.
But you don't even have to move. And a lot of people haven't got... people don't have that luxury. Like that,
that's just metaphorically.
To have kids or to have a house.
Yeah.
But a lot of people think that you need to do that in order to have that.
You need to observe yourself, really. And, like, create a little bit of a distance. Not in a detached way that, like, would send you, to therapy for a long time. But just, like, be like, I wonder why I'm doing this, you know.
A lot of people go off to India to find themselves. And it's like... It's the same cunt getting off the plane in India that got on it in Dublin, like.
Absolutely.
And they feel that they need to get a bit of separation from their regular life. And in a place like that where you go off and you meditate and you know, more often than that, if you're going to Thailand, you're going to be like fucking blowing coke up each other's arse with a straw and fucking smoking loads of mad weed and like trying to make sure that the wand that you're shifting hasn't got a dick or whatever. Like, there's a lot of things to get distracted with, but in your mind, you're going over to have, like, a Leonardo DiCaprio on the beach type of experience where you rediscover your youthful exuberance and you can come back with a nourished soul into it to get back into the rat race, but not let it take you over.
Yeah,
you know this
kind
of shit?
Yeah. But really,
she can you can do that abroad in fucking Moat or in Burr. Do you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Monaster Evan. You can make a Leonardo DiCaprio on the beach in Monaster Evan. Sure, who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
like, do you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Ballyhonus. You can have a You'd have a fucking spa weekend for yourself in Ballyhaunas abroad in the bathroom with a candle.
Opposite the meat factory there.
Yeah. Have an hour, just an hour to yourself to not.
But it is time out though. That is what you need. You need to rest and you need to just be.
You need to sleep and you need to rest. You need to, but you need to think about it. A lot of people, like, a lot of shit happens to them and they don't ever think about it afterwards. They're just like, no. Like, I used to black out a lot.
Okay.
But I black out, and then as soon as I woke up, I'd be like, oh my God, I blacked out. But then I'd remember everything. I was like, oh, brilliant. But I think it was just like my conscience was just turning off the lights and going like, okay, you're doing stuff that your inner personality wouldn't like you to do. So I'm just going to turn that guy off.
Yeah, I get you.
And when I was told the next day, like, what did I do? It was like, oh my God, you did this and this and this. And I was like, oh, amazing. I'm so cool. That's hilarious. And it wasn't, I never did anything like illegal or awful or, you know, it was never, I like, didn't assault anybody. It was just like fucking stupid shite. Like, but it's stuff that I would never do normally. Mm. And I just, maybe my brain thought like, you want to experience it to see if that's you or not. And I just did it.
You don't want to be a part of this.
Exactly. We're turning the witness box off. But I think, I can't remember where I heard it, but I tend to say it at the end of some of my live shows. It's like, you know, there's a lot of fucking negative shit. A lot of people who listen to my episodes are not in a great place sometimes, or like conspiracy theories tend to
attract.
Yeah, like pull in people who have disordered thinking.
Okay.
Or they have like suspicions about how the world works, or they're just like, you know, this is fucking bullshit, to start asking questions because something's not right.
Mm.
And then if you couple that then with like, obviously, like taking drugs or drinking or having a life that's, you know, abnormal, or you're doing, like, I've got loads of emails from people that are like, hey man, like, you saved my life last night. I was listening to your show and you were talking about such and such a thing. And you might think to them, you know, it's really nice to hear that. It's probably not as a magnanimous thing to tell people that it happens, but I'm not saying it to go, I'm so class.
Yeah.
I save people's lives. I'm going, you don't know what you're doing in somebody else's life. Just even giving someone a hug or high five or fucking saying, hey, how are you today? You're saving their day. Like, they were going to have a shit day up until that. And these little things that you're doing, they might change. Like, you don't feel it's like a big thing. You're not fucking St. Vincent de Paul. But even doing something small that's nice for somebody could totally change their week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
So what I say, like, a lot of people who listen to my show, they have loads of fucking bad shit going on. They're talking about Jeffrey Epstein and the fucking pedophile elite, which is like a thing that I have to stop myself talking about because it's in everything at the moment. You know, the queen is a lizard and they drink kids' blood and all this fucking shit. Like, or you're talking about just even like the government are out to get you. Do you know, there's a civil war, you know, Trump's gonna fucking cause World War III and it's doom and gloom and real dark shit. Like, and then there's people out there living their lives, going to work, hoping that like everything will be all right. They can pay their mortgage and their kids won't end up, you know, living in a world that's on fire and all this kind of mad worries and worries and worries. And what I like to say at the end of my live shows is like, if you have a voice inside of your head that's saying really shitty things to you, then that like, that's not your voice. That somebody else put that voice there because you'd never be mean to yourself. Why would you be mean to yourself?
Yeah.
You don't deserve that.
Yeah.
Somebody else put that voice there.
Yeah.
Be it like a parent or somebody from media or social media or somebody who you look up to, maybe you shouldn't be looking up to that person.
Yeah.
Like, it's a peer that's trying to keep you down in order to ingratiate or in order to advance their own career, their own social standing, or, do you know, like, we don't want to make a blanket statement, but some girls are bitches. You go out on a night out and it's like, oh my God, yeah, I was thinking about buying that dress, but I didn't. Like, you know, this kind of stuff. And you're like, why am I staying friends with you? Because we went to primary school together and then secondary school together and then we shared a room in college. And it's like, but you've been a cunt that whole time.
Right.
Always make me feel bad.
Yeah.
Saying stuff about my hips or my lips or, you know.
So the that's way in your own head.
Yeah. So if you're saying stuff, you're putting on makeup and someone's saying like, oh my God, that's like that. And you're like, that's that cunt you fucking went to school with. Who was always giving you gripes and snipes and annoying you. Like, that's not your voice.
Yes, exactly.
You look at yourself and you go, I'm deadly. And if you're not saying that, it's somebody else. You have to find out who that is and shut them the fuck up.
Absolutely.
I think.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, that inner critic work is definitely very important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I've been working on that over the whole, over the last year. Like,
it's very, it's tough work. It is tough work.
Yeah, because you have to find out, is it you actually saying it? Are you acting in a way that you know you really shouldn't be?
Mm.
Or what a lot of people do is, I was bullied, and that's what all the bullies used to say, so I can just be whatever way I want. And that's how you end up with my 600-pound life. Do you know?
Because
you're like, every decision I make is totally fine, and the only reason anyone is criticizing me is because they're bullying me.
I know.
Do you know the, these kind of caveats?
I get where they're, like how that thinking originates, whatever. Yeah. And I also see, thankfully, I guess for us, though, we can see that that is erroneous thinking.
Yes.
Like, but unfortunately they can't, and that's the issue, you know. So that's the difficult work for them, I guess. But you look at it, we've got great things like TLC, that TV that, you know, capitalize on people.
Yeah, like, we can experience that vicariously. Yeah,
absolutely. So glad that exists. They're doing great work.
Barcroft TV is a fantastic YouTube channel that has all of that shit.
Oh, see, I'm
it's like
that.
The child with no face.
Stop
or
it.
The child with nine hands, or the boy with butterfly skin.
And Jesus,
you
just,
yeah, you get to, you're the boy with no skin, I think it's called, and you get to watch this kid take bandages off because butterfly syndrome.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. That's horrific. Yeah. Okay. Oh my word, this is the worst segue into this question. But we are coming to the end, so I need to ask it. What is your happiest time or happiest memory?
Watching that documentary with the kid with no skin.
I fucking knew you were gonna say that.
What a way to ruin a beautiful moment. I got to do it. Ask me that question again so I can give it the reverence it deserves.
What, Gordo, is your happiest time or happiest memory?
Probably right now is number one. Like, my life right now is really good.
Amazing.
But it could be better.
Okay.
And I need to try harder. And I need to do more.
Okay.
And I need to concentrate and not break promises to myself. I mean, super honest, like, this is as honest as I get now. I set tasks, and I set limits, and I set goals, and then I'm like, I'm easy on myself. I'm like, ah, it's okay, like, you're doing all right. And my goals now, without fucking sucking my own dick here, like, my goals are huge things, and even if I get halfway there, I'm twice as far as most other people.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Now, that sounds like a cuntish thing to say. No. Like, that sounds like something that...
Why wouldn't you do that?
No, I know, but I sound like fucking Jay-Z wouldn't be saying that shit. Like, fucking, do you know what I mean?
Do you know who would, though?
Tiger
Kanye
Woods wouldn't
West.
Be saying, yeah, I know.
I'm
Jesus!
You think he's fucking Jesus now?
Yeah. So, like, I do have that Kanye West type of thinking. But, like, sometimes you get up in the morning and you're like, ugh. I'm already like twice as far as most other people, and I'm only trying half as hard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a break.
Yeah. Well, breaks are necessary too.
I know, but then breaks turn into regular shit. Like, you know, Joe Rogan often talks about it being your inner bitch.
Okay.
Which is a little bit derogatory, I guess.
A little bit misogynist.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's Joe.
It's your inner bitch. So it's like, you say you were going to go to the gym today, and then you didn't go. Because you wanted to be at home in your comfies.
You have
a pot noodle and a wank. And that's your inner bitch is convincing you to do that.
Yeah.
So, like, tell that bitch to shut the fuck up and go do it and stop complaining. And then at the end, you'll have something to show for it. But, like, you have to do that shit every day.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
And there's no break. And if you set yourself goals, you have to complete them. So, right now, I'm working on, like, being more motivated. I'm in a time of... Do you know the way, in those like ninja cartoons, like that guy is like going, "Huh, yeah," and he's charging up and like flashing yellow.
Yeah.
And then like after, "Huh, huh, huh," and then at the moment he goes like, and he explodes into a massive fireball. I'm like about to blow up into a massive fireball and do like a super fire punch or whatever.
Right.
But like I spent the last while charging. Mm. Like you think about it, like I made like 7 seasons of a podcast.
Wow.
It was over 600 hours online, and that's just the main podcast. There's also like 35 live shows, and they're live streams, and then I've done like 8 live shows. I've done fucking 40 swapcasts. Like there's an amount of content out there that's over like 800 hours, so it's as much as all of The Simpsons and all of South Park combined. like online. Now I know it's not as tightly created as Simpsons or South Park, but like hours wise, like think about that. And yeah. I've done all of that in 5 years or less, like 4.5 years.
That's incredible.
So like that's a lot of stuff.
That is a lot, yeah.
But it's like with people criticized Amy Schumer when she made all of her. She made all of her TV shows, and then she did her first special, and it was like smash hit. And then she started doing like season 3 of the show, mm-hmm. and she had another special, and it was like wah, wah. It was B grade stuff.
Okay.
And you're like, well, think about that. Any comedian that breaks out, they've been like touring that A material for 10 years. Yeah, yeah, that's their best shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then all of a sudden they hit the big time, and then the world goes more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have to come up with, in a year and a half, as good of an amount of stuff. And it's obviously expected to be probably better.
Sure.
Than the shit that they were working on for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's a physical impossibility.
Yeah.
I couldn't sustain doing what I was doing, making like a 6-hour episode with like 100 hours of work between research and recording and editing.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks, and then doing a true crime as well. Like, it's unsustainable. You just could put your head down and do that for 10 years, and at the far side of it, you could be like Marc Maron and have, you know, millions of dollars and have the top podcast and all this kind of stuff. But it wouldn't stop. It never stops. So I was trying to like, okay, before it gets too big to stop, let's have a little break. Let's think about where we're going. Be conscious of what's happening, mm-hmm. instead of just letting it sweep over you. The same you could do it in a job or in a relationship, and the next thing you're going out a year, and then people are expecting you to move in together, and you're like, where are we going with this? What the fuck? Like, sit and think for a minute. Have a little break and fucking think. So I've been like reading books, leveling up, like upskilling, learning how to use new methods of recording, try to dig down into what makes my stuff the magic that it is. So that I can go like, okay, so I'm not just like improv and I'm not just like freewheeling, that I actually know I can construct it better. I can be better at it, be a better listener, like ask better questions, know what to say, know what not to say, which is a huge thing for me. Like all of these things. So right now I'm very, very happy, probably the happiest I've ever been. The last time I was this happy is probably about like 11 or 12. It was before I went to secondary school anyway. And you're going on summer trips with all your cousins, and you'd be going to some fucking dirty ass beach, so with fucking beer bottle caps in the sand that'll cut your foot.
Yeah.
And like getting a sunburn on your forearms. You had to wear a t-shirt when you were swimming.
Yes.
And
are we cousins?
Because your auntie wouldn't spring for the Amber Solaire. It's just like, put a fucking t-shirt on.
Yeah.
Like in the '90s, they didn't know anything about UV rays.
No.
And, you know, eating slightly gritty potato sandwiches.
Yeah.
And then having an apple or a banana, one or the other. There's no such fancy fruits as kiwis or strawberries or anything. It was a fucking apple or a banana or an orange if you're lucky for dessert. And, you know, playing I Spy, playing hide and seek, and just being like, not even being like free. Like, you know, you watch Stand By Me and it's 4 12-year-olds who find a dead body and they're like, life is finite. Like, shit happens, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're 11, and you probably still believe in Santy, and, like, the world still has a magic sprinkle to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't really know what's coming down the pike. Yeah. You're like, adulthood is a thing on TV that your parents watch after the news.
Yeah.
You know? Do, 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 do.
Yeah, but you'll never, like, let happen to yourself.
Yeah, it's like, what even is that? Yeah. Show me cartoons. Show me... fantasy lands, like get lost in books and you'll be able to fucking like pick up a blade of grass and spend 2 hours learning how to make a noise out of it with your thumbs.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like spend like 2 hours on a sunny day sitting on a wall on your own squashing those little red spiders. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's probably my happiest time because it's before I knew everything. And then after I realized like what life is, you're like, oh my God, the best thing to do, knowing all I know about adult life, is to try and aim to have that thing, that feeling from when you were 11. So if you can find that and know about everything at the same time, you've fucking won life. Like, I think.
Yeah.
But to be aware of how that felt and why you felt that way.
Yes.
and still be able to deal with everything now and make your plans as you go to have that be your life. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to fucking play computer games professionally. Like, to play computer games and get paid for it. Mm-hmm. Or to, like, watch telly and then talk about the telly that I watched. So yeah. That's all I fucking do.
Amazing.
That's all I do.
I love it.
And I squash those red spiders as well.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Blood suckers. Or biodiversity or whatever.
Oh, who knows. Sentient beings and whatnot.
Yeah. There are loads of reincarnated Indians.
Yeah.
Stop squashing me, mister. Why do you squash me?
Yeah. That's kind of that thing of like returning to that place, like kind of that 11, 12 year old thing. That's very, very T.S. Eliot of you. You know, the whole thing of like returning to the place and knowing it as if for the first time.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think about and repeat the bad stories of shit that happened to them.
That's another thing.
And they identify as that thing. You are not the things that happen to you.
No, you are like, how you respond to them.
Be a different, be a different choice. Like, make a different life from the person that happened to. Do you know what I mean? Like,
totally,
do you
not have to, I totally get you.
And finally, when I was like, why are you in a bad mood? Oh, I think it's because, you know,
in
the 90s, I fucking did this thing. Or like, you know that thing when you're lying and going to sleep at nighttime and your brain just goes, oh, you're nearly going to sleep. You're like, yeah. Yeah, remember that time that you fucking sharted on a lift? Yeah, on your second day in that new job, and then everyone knew, and you had to go home and you had to say it was because your dog was sick or something. It's like, and you're just like lying, and you're lying away for 2 hours going, oh my God. Like, you're not that person. And you know what? Nobody cares.
See, this is it.
Nobody cares. No. Everyone wants to be a Kardashian, but they don't want anyone to look at them.
So it's
like, and that's obviously not a Kardashian. Just a blanket statement for a social media celebrity.
Of course.
Many people are self-involved, but like everybody wants now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Especially people like us, because we're like actually actively seeking notoriety for our craft.
I know, it's a strange one.
Do you know? So we're looking for that thing.
Yeah.
And we have to be very mindful of how much of ourselves we give to it.
Yeah.
So I made the decision a long time ago just to be absolutely myself. Because...
Well, of course, I don't think because you spent too much of your life for, like, trying to be who you thought other people want you to be.
A lot of people do that too, yeah.
Of course, for sure. Mm. Loads of people, everyone.
But I would be such a hypocrite if I then came out as a comedy persona that was totally different to who I actually am.
Mm.
So like my thoughts are my thoughts. And I think it's a lot easier to get famous.
Or your thoughts are just thoughts.
Yes. But I can change is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Like for somebody who makes up a persona, I won't name names. But somebody who makes up a persona and a certain political viewpoint and a certain like public facing image, that then becomes your market.
Yeah.
That then becomes your product and you are not yourself anymore. You are a version of your brand.
You're
a living brand.
Yeah.
Who behind closed doors is a totally different person.
Mm.
So.
I totally know who you're talking about.
So. You gain a fan base for that entire persona.
Yeah.
And that means that you can never change that persona. You can never grow. Mm. You can never change your opinion. You never change your mind on certain topics. You've set in stone your political or ideological opinions as someone who's pretending to be a person, but who's actually a character. So like, you know, if Peter Griffin started being like all, you know, feminist and stuff like that, we'd see it as comical because we know what he's actually really like.
Yeah,
fucking boobs. Or whatever, do you know?
Yeah, totally.
So like, to do that, I felt, would be entirely disingenuous to everything that I've gone through my whole life. But also, it'd be doubly difficult to maintain my private life and have a public facing thing.
Very bad for your mental health.
But also, in the show, like what I was saying in season 1 and 2 and 3, I'm not saying that shit anymore in season 7 and 8. And going on into the next year, I'm going to be changing my mind about a few things and how stuff works. And I've thought about it, and hopefully it'll help the audience to give them the tools to be able to figure that shit out and like kind of winkle away the truths, which is the whole point of it.
You don't have to be rigid.
Exactly. And being rigid is the fucking end.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain point.
Yeah.
Like we did an episode on Bruce Lee and his whole thing was like, be like a water. You know, like water takes on the form of whatever you put it into.
Yeah.
Do you know? So like if you're a solid piece of wood, sure, you can smash stuff up, you can hold things that you're rigid, but there's an end to that wood.
Yeah.
But if you're like water, you can fit into anything, you can move, you can evaporate, turn into steam, travel, all the things the water can do. Science, it's a crazy thing. But like, if you're steadfast and your whole income, your whole business model and brand is built around a certain persona that has a certain amount of beliefs, and you know, you fucking box yourself in. You can't get out of that.
You have to identify with that then.
And then that becomes your public identity. And over time, if your private identity, obviously your public identity, in order to do that, you have to have some kind of agreeing beliefs with your public and private life. But in your private life, as you start to grow and change and your political ideology start to move away from that, then you have this like fucking weight of a public persona hanging around. You not might even believe those things anymore, but people expect that from you. And if you don't give it to them, you start losing money. Like,
it's
that's
kind
what I did.
Like when Justin Bieber, years and years ago, he cut his hair. He lost shitloads of followers. So it's kind of like that.
I would say, it's kind of like the Jonas Brothers with their promise rings of virginity. And then they were absolutely laying pipe. They were slapping bags big time. Or Britney Spears being like, I'm a virgin.
I'm a virgin.
And Justin Timberlake was up to his nuts
she's
and guts.
Not.
Oh, 100%. He was fucking slapping the hole off her. And then when we all found out, we were like, oh my God, I'm delighted, actually. And then she then she came out with like, and I'm dancing. And she had all like sticky boobs and all wet boobs. And we're all like, oh yeah, wash the Disney off. You know, the Hannah Montana.
Well, that's kind of what you, exactly.
Like that,
Wrecking Ball.
You need, but not everybody has the fucking opportunity to come out and have like a, like Hannah, or what's her name? Miley Cyrus is coming out like with her tits hanging out with a giant like 15 inch dildo getting rolled up the arse by Robin Thicke on stage with her tongue hanging out. Like not everyone has the luxury of doing that in the office.
No, the joke.
Do you know what I mean?
Joke,
you can't exactly announce a new persona to the world.
Oh yeah. Great South Park episode based on that though. It's very
Britney Spears her head blown off. But like, but that's a choice that I decided to make, that I'm myself behind closed doors and public facing. If you're choosing to be the other way, cool. Just don't be like politically divisive, or don't be like something that you can't put back in the bottle, you know?
So that works.
So I think I'm trying to find
you're
that.
More congruous then as a person.
I'm more myself now, I feel, than I've been in 20 years.
I'm more content because
I'm more
of it.
Content.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool.
I'm trying to find those metaphorical red spiders on that wall that squashed them every day. And I have to keep my promise to myself that I'll do that.
Yeah.
They're the things.
Deadly.
And you could say like practical shit, like make lists and, you know, like be, you know, fucking brainstorm, like, or plan your year, like plan goals. You could say all that shit. None of that shit works, man.
No, it doesn't. It's the day thing. You have to do it in the day, every
it's
day.
Individual. Like, people are like, I can't make lists. I can't make them. Like, all these self-help gurus are like, just make make this matrix, this choice matrix. And you're like, ah, oh, fuck off, man.
Okay, that's deadly. We've talked loads.
Probably too much.
No, it's been so cool. And it's flown by as well. Actually.
You can see why
really the,
those conspiracy guys get up for 6 hours.
I mean, I really can, for sure.
90% of that I've never said out loud before. You were just asking me and I'm going like, let's think about this live.
Hopefully it conversation.
Hopefully it reads. I was like trying to think of metaphors at the top of my head going like.
That's beautiful, Gordon. That's
cool.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Thank
really appreciate it. It was a lovely chat. Thanks a million.